Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back. Hey guys, welcome back to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We are on episode 14. In this episode, we are calling into the unknown. We're going to be kind of giving some more in-depth updates on our life and our gun dogs. Oftentimes, we get a little bit of a blurb at the end of all of our other episodes, but we figured that at least one of you guys out there listening has to care a little bit more about us. So we're going to do an episode for you, whoever you are, diving a little bit more into depth with what we've been working on in our Gundog worlds. So before we kick things off, definitely want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Dirty Duck Coffee. If you haven't tried them yet, I definitely encourage you to get yourself a bag. This morning was one of those mornings that I did not know how I was going to drag myself out of bed. For whatever reason, I wasn't able to sleep too well. And I brewed myself some high velocity, and it was exactly what I needed this morning. So if you're interested in getting some of their coffee, we have a special code for you guys, and that code is OGD15. And for any of the codes we have mentioned on our show, you can visit the link tree that's in our bio on Instagram, and that will take you to all of our sponsors. You'll see a little tab that says our sponsors, and it'll take you to each one of them and to their website. So you can go straight there and click on it, and it gives you the code as well. So without further ado, John, how about you kick us off with some really fun, interesting stuff you have going on in your world?
Man, I do have some exciting stuff going on right now. I don't know. I have lots of big updates, but I'll call this my biggest updates because it's in the nearest future. But Bonnie, I have signed up for seasoned hunt tests, which I mentioned in previous episode or two. So I feel like I'm cramming for final a little bit right now. Basically, she has a hunt test this coming weekend and next weekend as well. She'll have 3 seasoned hunt test opportunities. 2 this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And then next weekend, she signed up for just Sunday, not Saturday, because I got kids and they got a trick or treat. So couldn't get out of that. Wouldn't want to get out of that.
I mean, how's that going to work with coronavirus? I've been wearing a mask and eating candy for like the past 6 months. So there's not much difference.
Man, I was kind of banking on Halloween not happening. But, you know, it seems like it is coming up, and it's a thing. So it's going to be going on. So we're gonna do it up. I don't know if it'll be any modifications, but I guess we'll see. So timing wise, you know, this was really our last opportunity to do seasoned hunt tests before hunting season. And then basically, if we didn't get it in now, next opportunity wouldn't be until really March, at least in my general vicinity. How do I feel about it? Nervous. If I had another month prepared for the test, I definitely would. But as I mentioned before, next opportunity at a relatively drivable distance isn't until March. So, you know, you think about that's 4 or 5 months away. And we're close enough to it that I want to take a crack at it, at least with Bonnie, see where we're at. If anything else, it'll at least be a good place to know where we're at and what we need to work on. So, here lately, I can't even count how long, maybe the past month or so, we've been doing 2 to 3 a days, practicing all of the concepts for a seasoned hunt test. Right now, she is marking well on doubles, has been steady on marks, steady on walk-up, steady on her diversion. Where she has struggled lately is, surprisingly, kind of what we've been working on the most. So it's her blinds, and really specifically the blinds that she's been having issues with, and like our mock setups are blinds that are closer to mark. So blinds with suction from previous falls, especially those that are at a distance. So that control kind of is eroding at a distance, I feel. Game plan this week has been to put her in these situations to make these mistakes so that I can teach her and correct leading into the hunt test. She is a higher drive dog, so we want to make sure to have her control in check going into the hunt test. This isn't the type of dog that I need to, like, boost her confidence going into the test. It's more having that control going in. Also got some feedback that I need to slow down a little bit with my casts. Pause, give her a couple of seconds, cast slower. So she's a fast dog. And as we've mentioned in other episodes, and I, you know, haven't reflected so much on myself, but with a fast dog, you should move slow. And with a slow dog, you should move fast. So basically, pending the outcome of these three tests, it'll determine what are the next steps for Bonnie as far as hunt test goes. If she still needs some season passes after this, we'll resume in March, and then it'll be on to finished. In the meantime, she's also going to hunt this winter. We have some nice hunts coming up, one of which Dominic is going to be coming down to Louisiana for. I'm excited about having him down in our area. I'm excited about getting to meet Sailor more than anything. I'm excited to have Bonnie and Sailor hunt together. I feel like that's going to be really cool.
I feel like they're going to be like long lost sisters.
Man, and we should probably record their introduction to each other, because I'm sure it'll be memorable.
Oh, I'm positive of that.
And in addition to that hunt, we have a few other hunts planned for November as well. And then kind of looking at some other stuff as December approaches. That's the biggest update with Bonnie. I will give, you know, an update on all the other dogs that are getting trained by me at the moment. Lola, my client dog, is progressing very well. She's been training with me for about 6 weeks so far. I think she could probably pass started at this point. She's still hardwiring a recall with excitement, but other than that, she is doing great on water, doing great with birds, doing great with gunfire. And actually pretty steady for a 7-month-old dog considering her higher drive. So I'm very happy with everything she's accomplished in such a short amount of time. And she's been a very easy dog to train, a very biddable dog. She wants to do right. And she's obviously very intelligent. She has the drive. So for, you know, obtaining her as a client dog, I feel like I got really lucky to have a dog with all these great attributes.
You know, you mentioned drive, something that's been kind of coming up in training with that a local trainer here for me, is it's not something I really thought of before, but he brings up a good point that there's a difference between prey drive and retrieve drive. And historically, I hear them interchanged a lot, but kind of hearing that, and it makes me want to kind of dive in and do a little bit more research myself and see if some circles differentiate and how, and if others don't. I can definitely see the point that they're two completely different things that kind of overlap. So that's something I want to continue to learn about, is, you know, what the difference is between those two drives.
Right. And whenever I say she's high drive, I would say it's more of a retrieve drive in that regard. But you do bring up some good points. And, you know, if I pull a pigeon out, she's going to, I guess she has the prey drive as well. So I'm sure there is some overlap with the drive in addition to like food drive. I think that's another thing. And that's kind of going back into like the love languages that we've talked about in several episodes. You know, when you talk about food drive and the retrieve drive, and like that's what gets them excited. So that's kind of how we reward our dogs, and kind of finding the balance there as well. But that is a good point and a good topic, and maybe something we could talk about on a future episode as well.
Definitely. Anyone who's listening, if you have some input on that topic, I know I'd personally like to hear more about it, but you can feel free to reach out to me via Instagram or to John or to our Operation Gun Dog page on Instagram as well.
Right. And speaking of prey drive, I would like to mention my puppy, Delta. So I've had her for about a week and a half now. And speaking of the prey drive, just yesterday I got a pigeon out for her, and she's completely bonkers for pigeons. She loves the pigeon game. So I had previously filled up a little kiddie pool with water just to see if she would get in. She didn't automatically get into the kiddie pool. I kind of placed her in there a little bit, got in myself, and seemed to enjoy it, but she didn't enter the pool on her own. So when I noticed that she had the high drive for the pigeon, I threw it for her one time in the yard, and she really got after the pigeon. And so I thought, hey, maybe I'll just toss it in the pond real quick. And I did, and she jumped right in after it. No issues whatsoever. I threw her a couple of little retrieves in the pond with the pigeon, and I would say overall it was pretty great, exactly what I wanted to see out of her. In addition to that, we've been working on the basics for puppies, you know, crate training, socializing, some little retrieves here and there, intro to the place board, intro to water, obviously the pigeon, and next steps, probably next week after I knock out this hunt test weekend, diving off into our clicker and treat training for obedience. And she does have the food drive as well, so I'm hoping that this goes over rather smoothly.
You know, you mentioned that whole thing with Delta and water, and I know I've mentioned in some previous episodes about how with Sailor she wants to square herself up and take that straight line from the shore to the bumper, whether that bumper is a splash or on land across a body of water. She wants to really think about it and square herself up. So that's something we've been working on. The way we're kind of working on that for the time being is still building water confidence. We definitely want to get her in the water as much as possible, but we don't want to build confidence in the way like you would with Delta, you know, like little bits of water exposure here and there. We want to challenge her where she can be challenged, but not sacrificing her confidence in water, which kind of sounds counterintuitive, but the way we're doing that is we're squaring her up to the bumper where the bumper lands, so she doesn't have to think about taking that angle entry or squaring herself up. She can just take a straight line and hit the water. But the part that the challenge comes through, and it doesn't make it monotonous for this dog that does think through things, we're backing away from the bank. That's something I personally would have thought, you know, to beat this, I'm just going to stand at the edge of the bank. That way she's not going to cheat. I'll be a physical barrier. By stepping away from the bank, we're able to make her almost gain momentum towards the water. And since she's already square, she just gets right in. She doesn't really think about it as much. Whereas if she has an angle entry, even if I'm standing at the edge of the water, she's going to think about that and want to square herself up. So that's one way we're challenging her, but building confidence at the same time. The watermarks aren't anything crazy. They're super simple, but just adding that distance from the bank and simplifying it by making it square is how we're kind of attacking things for the time being.
Right. And I know we've talked about this a little bit. I guess I kind of have some thoughts that I'd like to ask you, because you've obviously had a lot more time to think about it. And I'm sure you've been picking brains of other people who have dealt with poodles and other people that have been doing it a little longer as well. But also, so what are your other options moving forward? And it is like de-cheating in, you know, something that would be coming up, or forced to water, just like you would do forced to pile. I also think about like some less pressure type scenarios, like putting up like a holding blind on the water's edge, so you can't really go that direction, or sending from a point, stuff like that. What's kind of the next?
Yes. Step? I like that idea about sending from a point. I haven't thought about that. I wonder if she'd still try to square herself up on the point, but that's not a bad idea. Next steps will probably be that holding blind, do something that gives her a physical barrier to force her into the water, or to force her to make a decision to go around it. That way, if there is, you know, a verbal correction given there. She recognizes that it's for going around something rather than for trying to get in the water. It kind of defines that gray zone a little bit more for her. We're probably not, at least at this time, looking at force to water or anything like that, because there is definitely a confidence issue when it comes to water. And I think, you know, force to water can work and will get a result, but I don't know if it will get the result that we're looking for right here. So it definitely has a place and a use. So I'm not knocking that that process,
right.
But I think I'm going to try a few other methods and leave that as a last resort, because she's getting in the water. She's just, one of her drives is in imbalance. So she's thinking about it a little bit too much and trying to square herself up. So we'll try to sort through that and see what solutions come from that, or what growth come from that.
Right. I'm also kind of thinking about, I know you mentioned, you know, sending her kind of backed off of the shore a little bit, so she's having to run and have momentum diving in. But when you are closer to the water, do you find yourself using yourself as a barrier? Like, if it were like an angled entry, are you putting yourself like where she would cheat to?
So that is something I have tried, and it is to zero effect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it speaks to her ability to ignore some factors, but me physically putting myself as a barrier to her means very little.
Right.
The times that I've tried that, she just goes around me.
So that's kind of, and that's like what I would expect, or what I could see happening with the holding blind too, unless there was a way that, you know, you could aim her right, you know, right through two holding blinds, or there wasn't an option. But I mean, I could even imagine if the water was like shallow, like, you know, not a drop off.
Just it. Walking in front
yeah,
of
kind
it.
Of walking in front of it and then getting back.
And then that would be even more ambiguous to try to correct it, especially right. If she's trying to go around it, but through the water. So we're going to be playing it by ear. We're probably going to be trying out a couple of different things, but I do know, I see a little bit of an improvement when we back off the water's edge. Even like it might be 15, 20 yards swim from the edge of the edge of the bank, but when we back off another 20 yards, she does get some momentum going there. She has a lot of confidence, you know, hitting her landmarks, and she'll stride it out straight to it. So I think by backing off of that bank some, it incorporates that confidence in running hard on the land, and then it just meets the water some. So I think that's going to start to connect some dots for her and build some confidence. She might not be having, you know, flashy water entries that you see from some of these labs or from Bayou Bonnie, but I think she's gonna definitely gonna mature effectively.
I do have one other thought, and I know we're probably ready to move on to another subject, but also with, you know, the water entry. And I don't know if you have anywhere that you can train like this, or if you already have, but if you have some water that's like shin or knee deep for her, where she's not actually submerging herself, but like basically running through the water instead of swimming, and kind of using that as like a bridge, or would she be, you know, trying to cheat the bank on that as well?
I don't have access to water like that, that I know of, other than trying to, you know, make her run a bank or a long shore type or down the shore type of thing.
Right.
So I'm not sure as far as facilities go, if I'd be able to try that. Part of me thinks that she would still want to square herself up. Mm-hmm. It's just something about water, especially with the habit and the muscle memory that's been built to this point, that you see water, you're going to have to swim. So right. Even if it's knee deep, shin deep, at least the first time. I would assume that she's going to try to square herself up. Maybe after she realizes she doesn't have to swim in a body of water like that, it might change up some. But I just don't have access to that.
So I think you're probably pretty accurate in your assumption with that. I can tell you, so of all my dogs, Chief was the one who I picked him up at a year and a half, and I don't know that he spent any time in the water before I got him. I'm telling you, if it rained enough that there was like puddles in the field that we trained in, he would go around the puddles, you know, like I'm talking toe deep water. And so, but the difference with him is, you know, he can take pressure. And so we went through the de-cheating, and I mean, really, like we had one session where we just hammered through with like 40 retrieves in the water, and he did, by the end of it, he did awesome with it. And I know it sounds like a lot, but he handled it like a champ. Like that's when I knew that he could, you know, be a duck dog. That's, you know, for somebody that kills a lot more ducks than I do. So,
yeah, there's a couple of different methods to de-cheating. Some methods kind of take the philosophy of, you know, the ground is lava, the water is safe. And then some others utilize more casting. Personally, I like the idea of being able to cast her because it might give her a clearer picture of, you know, what I'm asking her to do. So I'm probably going to wait on de-cheating her until she's almost fluent in understanding what directional casting is. She has some of it in her that we've kind of touched on, but that's my own fault for not going in that stepwise fashion, because we were coming up on those started tests, and I think I'm going to stay the course as I am now and focus on marking, and as we start to mature, we'll hit some of those blinds, and then that handling will come in, and then de-cheating will come from there.
Right.
And with any luck, by that point, she'll have a lot more water exposure, and she'll be past some of that confidence issues with water as well, which right. should create a more successful environment.
Right. So with that plan, do you feel like, you know, with winter months coming up and colder water, that it might be something that you're kind of holding off on a little bit, or do you feel like you're trying to progress with it before it gets too cold right now?
I'm trying to progress with exposure right. as much as I can before the water gets too cold, because it probably is going to hit a point here in North Carolina where we won't be drilling so much in water. So we'll try to get as much exposure in, see if we can't doctor up some of her problems by pulling her off the bank some. And hopefully we're able to make some sort of headway. That way, if we do take some sort of break, she will be hunting a bit this winter. But as far as training, I'm not sure what that's going to look like. This is going to be my first winter season while training her at this level, because last winter she was, you know, 3-4 months right. old. So training definitely looked a lot different. Absolutely. So we'll see if we can power through. It is North Carolina, so if we have a couple of days where it's 75-80 in November, the water temps might jump up just enough that we're able to do some more work in there. With the couple of hunts we have coming up, I have ordered Sailor a neoprene vest. We ended up going with the Rig'em Right. I got her a large. She was kind of between sizes. We'll see how that fits her. I was super excited at one point because on Gun Dog Supply, I saw a scratch indent Mo Marsh for like $80, and I jumped on it. But apparently so did other people, because I got an email after my order confirmation about a day later saying that item was no longer available. So we went to the Rig'em Right, and we'll wait and see how it comes and how it fits her, and we'll see how she likes it.
Well, that should be pretty exciting. I'm sure she'll be probably wearing that when she comes down here for her hunt down here. And I'm kind of hopeful that, you know, just being the actual hunt situation with, you know, birds flying overhead and the excitement of a couple other dogs being around, that, you know, something lands in the water and she just takes off after, maybe even breaks. We'll have to see, man.
I don't like the idea of her breaking in a hunt scenario, especially with, you know, other guns. That is one place where I don't want her to break. But at the same time, if I can get her excitement level up enough that she does break, you know, hopefully nobody's water swatting behind her or something.
Right. I feel like we've given updates on mostly all the dogs. I will give a quick update on Chief and Arlo. So basically they're working on the same stuff that Bonnie's working on, and they're training for seasoned as well. Bonnie was just a step ahead of them, and so it seems that they will now be waiting until the spring, and Bonnie's going to get the first crack at the hunt test. But that being said, they're still doing well and training, and they're planning on doing some hunting as well this season. So that'll be fun. Hopefully all the dogs get birds this season. That's the goal. Updates with me. So I'm in the process of buying a house, and also will be selling my current house. We're moving out of the neighborhood and out in the country a little bit, on a few acres. So very excited about that. The house comes with a large shop that I will be outfitting for the dogs. So super excited about that. One of the biggest reasons I am moving is to expand what I'm doing with gun dogs. So with my own dogs and also with client dogs. So right now I've found myself very limited living in a neighborhood and what I can and can't do with my dogs as well as client dogs. So I think, you know, moving out into the country, a lot of doors will be opening, and I have some really big plans, which I'm sure we'll be talking about on future episodes.
I was going to ask you, so have you gotten Delta running blinds yet? Or
no, man. Delta's just wrestling pigeons and barking in her kennel. That's about it right now, man.
So shameless plug, how many square feet is the house you're selling? What's the neighborhood? What parish are you in? Just go ahead and drop your realtor's name.
Oh, man. you know, the market's pretty good right now. And in the neighborhood that we're in, houses are moving pretty quick. So it's not an old house. We actually built the house about 4 years ago. And it's in a nice neighborhood. And, you know, as far as Louisiana goes, it's in a great parish. We don't have counties over here. They're parishes. You know, I've had some houses in our neighborhood that have sold within a week. And so we're kind of hoping that, you know, it sells relatively quick. We had originally, you know, decided to wait until after we moved in because it would just be easier with the dogs and then sell. But with the election coming up and, you know, the unknowns with changes in mortgage rates or lending rates, we wanted to go ahead and try to get it together and put it on the market. So I've been doing a lot of work around the house and the yard and whatnot, trying to get ready for listing hopefully next week. So
we'll be looking for you to share your link on Instagram.
Yeah, if anybody wants to buy my house, hit me up. It's on a pond. It's not the biggest house in the world, but it's 2,200 square feet. It's got four bedrooms, 2.5 baths. It's a lot of nice families live around us, lots of great neighbors. They like crawfish boils, at least whenever I'm cooking crawfish.
You're forgetting the biggest selling point, the fact that you can fit how many dogs?
Yeah, you can fit at least six dogs in here because I've done it, so... That's why I'm getting to move into the country. So if there's anyone out there that lives in the neighborhood that's been wanting to move out of the neighborhood, just buy a bunch of dogs. You just smoke your wife out with dogs, and eventually she'll say, "Yeah, let's do it."
John, you kind of mentioned what you've been working on with Delta. Is she having any struggles currently? I know we went through a puppy episode a while back.
Not really, nothing glaring. She's actually reminds me so much of Bonnie as a puppy that like I keep telling myself like this is what you asked for, man. I put her on the leash and she, kind of attacks the leash. I can't hardly walk around her without her trying to chew on my shoe. She digs, all the cute little puppy things that become a little less cute as they get older. So, we're tolerating it to a point, but we're also kind of setting some boundaries as well with that kind of stuff. She's got plenty of drive. I think that she's going to be everything that I'm going to need as far as that goes, though. So, we know that this other stuff kind of comes with the territory.
Well, good deal. One thing I've been struggling with, Sailor, that's off the field and not really gun dog related, is I've just had an issue with getting her to eat. There's something about eating at our house is what I think it is, because she eats just fine whenever she stays somewhere else. So she just hasn't been putting on too much weight. Hopefully we're able to put some extra insulation on her for this winter, because the reason I ended up ordering that vest is we were doing some water drills this past week, and air temp was, mid to low 70s, so water was probably, since we're hitting fall, is in the 60s or maybe high 50s. And she came out, she shook off, and she was just shaking a little bit. So she's definitely getting used to those colder temperatures, but I think it would definitely do her good if.
That's a good point going into the colder weather. And also with increasing, your training, I will say, this week with all the training going on, Bonnie's eating more food than ours. So, and you're talking about a 55-pound female versus a 95-pound male. And she's eating 4 cups a day now, which, I usually kept her on probably about three. And we got her on the 30-20. So she's replacing what she's putting out in the field. And for instance, today she trained three times, and then I just let her out with my puppy, and she ran around like she hadn't been out of her kennel all day. Like the wild banshee that she is. So I feel like that's a pretty good indicator that I'm doing a decent job of placing what she's putting out in training. Makes me think of my older dog, Mags. She is 13. She's kind of my secret dog. I don't really talk about her on here a whole lot anymore because there's not a whole lot really going on with her. She kind of lays around. She ran out of dog food the other day, and we had her on some weight control, our old dog food, for the veterans out there. And so I gave her some 30-20 because that's what I had. And man, you would have thought that she had like a dose of cocaine or something, man. She was wired, like trying to play with the young bucks and just a lot more lively. So I think, we kind of underestimate food can do for dogs sometimes, man.
It's interesting too, because I know we've talked about it, but dogs naturally will fast themselves sometimes, and they'll naturally adjust their intake according with seasons. I don't know the exact science behind it, but it's interesting how naturally they do have some tendencies there. Well, I think that's about all I have for updates that have been going on. In my world recently, I've enjoyed hearing some of your updates, John. Some of the ones I already knew, so learned some new ones as well. And for those of you who listen to the whole episode, we do greatly appreciate you all. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate it. Leave us a review. We appreciate all that feedback, and ratings definitely mean a lot to us. We like seeing what you guys think of our podcast, and it also helps us judge what you guys like hearing about. So make sure your voice is heard through the little stars at the bottom of our podcast. With all that being said, thank you again for listening to us. We look forward to continuing to put out content for you guys and engaging with you all.